Please pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. This week's gospel is the beginning of a 7-week series about some of the parables in the gospel of Matthew. And before I get into this week's parable, I think it's important for us to make sure we have an understanding what the parables are and why Jesus uses them in his teaching. I started by looking at the other good book, my Merriam-Webster dictionary, and it defines parables as a usually short fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. And in the Gospels, Jesus uses these parables, these short stories, and in the Gospels, those parables are about him and about what he is doing at that moment in time, that he's announcing that the kingdom of God has come near. They're also about how what he was doing was bringing the whole biblical story, especially of God and Israel, to its climax. And his parables play off the design patterns and images throughout all Hebrew scripture, because Jesus proclaims that he is fulfilling the story of Hebrew scripture. And that is the story of what God was doing with Israel and the whole world. Now you may wonder, why does Jesus use fictitious stories to proclaim his message? Why doesn't he just speak directly and plainly so there's no ambiguity? In fact, his disciples were confused as to why all of a sudden he was speaking in these stories. In the verses that we didn't talk about today, the disciples asked a question of Jesus. They asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? Perhaps they were thinking, well, you know, just a few months ago when we were with a large crowd in the mountain over there, he was speaking directly. That was a good sermon. This new stuff is confusing. Why change now? And Jesus answers them. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them, indeed, it is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Truth is, prior to this, Jesus was speaking directly and plainly. And in chapter 12, right before today's gospel, Jesus had several encounters with the Pharisees where he spoke directly. And they criticized Jesus' disciples for plucking grain on the Sabbath. And after healing a man's crippled hand on the Sabbath, they conspired against Jesus and sought ways to destroy him. After Jesus cured a man possessed by demons, they claimed that he was of the devil. Now each time Jesus explained how what he was doing was true to God's word, and that the assertions that the Pharisees were making were not. You see, the Pharisees were entrenched in their current understanding and set their defenses against Jesus' direct words, and they interpreted Jesus' words as blasphemy. Now by shifting communication, Jesus accomplished two things. First, he bought some time. He knows that if he continues in this pattern of direct communication, that the Pharisees will act quicker in their plans to destroy him. But he still had work to do. It was not yet time. The second thing that Jesus accomplishes by speaking in parables is to draw the listener to awaken insight and to stimulate conscience and to move to action. You see, direct communication is important for conveying information, But learning is more than just information intake. Indirect communication finds a way through the back window to confront a person's view of reality. Jesus' parables are prophetic instruments used to get God's people to stop and reconsider their way of viewing reality and to change their behavior. With all this in mind, let's look at our parable today and see if it creeps into any of our back windows or awakens any insights within us. First off, Jesus explained to his disciples that the parable is about Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. So a lot of my work is done in explaining it to you. But he explained how it's about some people will not receive God's word at all. And some people will receive it, but it may not stick because of anxiety or greed. And some will receive it and bear an abundance of fruit. It's pretty simple. But if we dig a little deeper, we'll discover more. First, let's start by looking at the soil. I warn you that looking at the soil can be problematic. Some folks have focused on the soil and thought of good soil and bad soil being a matter of salvation, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. I myself thought when I heard this parable, what kind of soil am I? Am I good soil? What if I'm not good soil? Can I change? What do I need to do? The problem with that approach is it focuses on what I have to do and not what God has to do. Remember, I said earlier that parables are not about us. They're about what Jesus is doing and how Jesus is accomplishing God's purpose. But we can still learn something about who God is and what God is up to by looking at the soil and its environment. I thought about this, and I came up with a list of things, some simple truths, I call them, about the soil that also apply to us and our ability to understand and receive God's word. First off, the soil cannot change itself. It needs outside influence to work on it and act on it to change it. God is that outside influence for us. God changes us. God changes the soil. Through the Spirit that God places in us, and by hearing the word and receiving the gracious acts of service from others, we slowly change. So none of us can be good soil outside this work that God does in us. The other thing is we're not just one kind of soil all the time. Sometimes we waver. After all, we are saints and sinners. Sometimes we're lured in by false gods. Sometimes we deny our faith before others out of fear of what they might do or say. Sometimes we put ourselves in our greed and our pride ahead of God. The other thing is that good soil needs tending to stay good. It can easily get overrun with weeds or trampled down in a path. Now let's look at the seed. The word of the kingdom, as Jesus described it. But what is this word? The word that I've been thinking about a lot lately is grace. I think grace embodies what the word of the kingdom is. That God loves us, there's nothing we can do to earn that love, and there's nothing we can do to lose that love. It is given to us freely. God loved us so much, he gave his son that we might have eternal life, simply by believing in the promise. And in our parable, the sower casts that seed onto all the soil, not just the good soil. So when the seed and the soil come together, Jesus tells us in the good soil, it will grow and abundantly bear fruit. One side note here. Jesus never says how long it's going to take that soil to bear fruit. It may be immediately, or it may be years down the road. We don't know. But God does, because God is the one that provides the growth. And the fruit we bear is our response to God's love for us. It is the grace we deliver to the world by proclaiming God's word and by loving acts of service we do for others. It is through the fruit that we bear that the new seeds are cast out onto other soils, whether it be a soil that has never received seeds before or a soil that has not yielded fruit before. It is not our concern. It's not our purpose. It's God's purpose. As we heard earlier through God's word in the prophet Isaiah in our first reading, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That word from God's mouth is grace, a free gift of God's love that is cast out to all soil, cast out to all humankind without price. When that gift is received by the good soil that God has prepared through the Holy Spirit, then God will give growth. And that will abundantly yield fruit in us that reflects the grace of God. And that fruit, that is the fruit that accomplishes God's purpose. Amen.